When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for sticking and staying with us here at WCCO. If you're just joining us, you are listening to Steele Talking. I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. It is what I love to do on a Sunday night is be here with you. There is so much going on. We're hoping to get our guest on tonight to really talk about what's going on when it comes to politics and so much more here in not just the great state of Minnesota, but all over. It is remarkable, all of the things that are happening. A lot of things that people sit down and have lunch and talk about it, right? And I love that. I think we should all be able to talk about politics, period. You know, whether we are in a cafe or if we're sitting on the steps outside of our homes, we should be able to have those conversations. Here's something I want to tell you. It's more than 10 days and ticking with no Speaker of the House in Washington, D.C. Now, last week's ouster of former Speaker Kevin McCarthy closed the House of Representatives to any new business, and it remains that way even now. So with the first replacement contender dropping out about 24 hours after getting nominated, one half of the nation's most important lawmaking body is in quicksand. This is the thing that is so remarkable right now. We know what it means, right? We know how this works, how our democracy works, what it means to vote. We've already talked about that, right? But the challenge for me, just thinking about it again, is that I want to hear your voice on all of this. We know that Kevin McCarthy is out. We know that Scalise just decided, okay, I'm done. I'm dropping, you know, I'm leaving it alone. But the bottom line is, does it help the people of the United States? Does it help us when they are so confused and it's not going well? How do you feel about learning how the House is dealing with who the leadership is? Who will the leadership be when all of this is done? And if you'd like to call in and talk about this, you are welcome to do so at 651-461-9226. You can text us or you can call in 651-461-9226. The reason we need to talk about this is because it is critical for our future. If all of us don't understand how this process works, and I'm not saying you need to know every little bit about everything when it comes to politics. There's no way I think all of us can do that. But I do understand that we are very clear on certain things. But should we go deeper? Should we go deeper? I would love to know that we have a Congress who is willing to hit the beat, to really let us know what it means to vote, what it means to have leaders, the leadership, and to make sure that people understand what that really means to the power that they can have in this democracy. Some people may say, oh, no, we don't need to do that. It's not that important. Yeah, it really is that important. So even when you hear about it, I know you get frustrated. So many of us, I've gotten frustrated before and didn't want to listen to politics for a month. And then I realized if I don't educate myself about who is running, why they're running, who is now going to be the Speaker of the House, who's going to do it? And there will be more people coming forward. I promise you that. I really believe that with all my heart. It's not going to be just one or two. Oh, no. There are some people look at the reason why they want to do this for different reasons. I'm not going to judge that. What I'm going to judge, or at least look at, is that if they are really willing to step into those gigantic shoes to be Speaker of the House, please help us know why. Tell us why you want to jump in. Right? Some people look at some of these positions and say, oh, that's a great position, but, you know, it's not that important. Yeah, it really is that important. Frustrating? Absolutely. Is there a way to calm ourselves when we keep hearing about how ridiculous some of this is? Yeah. So I'd like to hear from you at 651-461-9226. Do you believe that this whole process of the Speaker of the House has been a disaster? Or do you believe, oh, no, 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 we're on the right track. We just need to do this, this, and this. Because we really need to be discussing it in coffee houses and backyards and whatever it takes. I have not seen one person come to the House to check to see, hey, are you interested in voting for so-and-so? Remember how that used to happen? That people actually knocked on your door and say, hey, just wondering if you're interested in the candidates that are running for dot, dot, dot. Do you run away from the door when you see them come up to the door with all of their voting pieces of paper, right? They want to be able to tell you all about their candidate. They want to be able to tell you about why they want to talk to you about that candidate. I love that. We all need to learn about it. But as I said earlier, it would be nice where it's not just all glossy and beautiful. No, I want them sitting down. In fact, I remember for a city council, I just couldn't believe it that someone wanted to come to the House and talk to my mom, and I happened to be there that day. And I asked him to come in and sit down. Would you please come in and sit down and speak with my mom and I? Would you do that? And he did. And he told us a whole lot about himself. That's what I wanted to know. That's the thing that I look forward to, is to be able to sit on the steps outside, sit under a tree, whatever you have to do to figure out where that person's head is and how is it going to benefit you and your family as well as the rest of the state of Minnesota or the cities of Minnesota. So it's worth it. It really is worth it. Sometimes I see out on the streets or in a parking lot these notifications, you know, where they say, hey, just you need to know about this person who's running. And, you know, it's skipping through the wind in the back of a church or, right? People are not running after those things. But look at those things. And if you figure out that you don't have enough information, then go get enough information. Even if that person is already seated and booted, man. They're already doing their job and they just want to be reelected. Ask the questions. Why should I elect you again? Why? What is it that you are going to do, not just for our community, but for each of these homes, for the elderly that are having problems dealing with their homes? What are you going to do about so many challenges that we have? 651-461-9226 if you want to join us. Do you just sit and start checking off names and go, well, I don't really know if I want to vote for that person, but I will. Make sure that person is willing to do what needs to be done for you to keep moving up and forward. because a lot of people are hurting, particularly in certain neighborhoods throughout the Twin Cities. So, yeah, don't ignore it. Don't walk away. Don't think it's ridiculous. I know, Jonathan, do you vote every year?
I try to remember to vote every year. I might have missed a quote-unquote down cycle vote where you don't have a presidential election. But I usually try to get out there, vote for referendums, vote for congresspeople, senators, you know, that sort of thing.
Do you feel like you know once they tell you? Do you trust what they tell you? Let's say you had a one-on-one.
I am not as educated a voter as I should be. I will say that. Right. I am not as educated a voter as I should be, and I need to get more educated.
We all do.
Yeah.
You think you will?
I hope so. I need to push. It's all about pushing yourself to do it. That's the big thing.
Well, then push on. Push on.
Yeah, and like you said, we have our lives that we're running. We're working. If you have children, you're involved in helping them grow up and in their lives. If they have things going on, it's difficult to carve out time. Now, I say this as a person with no children. It's difficult to carve out time sometimes to go in and research the issues and research all the people that you need to that are on the ballot, especially stuff like judges, where you might have to go through caseloads,
right,
and see what their case records are, and that takes a lot of time and effort.
That's one of the things that has really challenged me over the years when it comes to our judges. You know, and I'm so proud of some of them. I read about it, but do you ever get enough information? I feel as though I don't get enough information, right? Maybe I'm not looking in the right corners. I don't know, but it's important. And I know I'm talking a lot about this, but it's that important for us to get fired up. Please get fired up and know what it takes to be able to sit in those incredible places when it comes to voting, when it comes to elections. Talk to as many people as you can, even if they don't want to hear it. Just say, I just want to just say a couple things to you. Please vote. Why not? Why not? Because if we don't, I mean, our democracy is already in trouble in so many different ways. I really, truly believe that. Some people don't believe it. They go, oh, we're not in trouble. We'll be just fine. No, no. And if you'd like to join us in this conversation, all you have to do is pick up the phone at 651-461-9226. Nick is joining us from Roseville. Hey, Nick, how you be?
Hey, Geraldine, I'm doing wonderful. Yeah, I agree with you. I actually wasn't able to listen at the beginning of the hour, but I agree with you. Everyone should vote, and I miss those days, too, when possible candidates or the Republicans used to come to our door, because I'm a Democrat, and I'm blind, and I used to tell them how, in a very nice and smiling way, how sometimes one party, whether it's Republicans or whatever, isn't favorable towards the disabled. And I don't know what they thought of me when they went away, but I thought I bet they figured, wow, this kid has charm.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, but I agree with you that people should still get out there and vote. And I've got a blind friend who says, oh, it doesn't make any difference. We get who we get. And it's like, wow.
Yeah. I know young people that are 18 years old, you know, or 21 or 25, and they'll go, yeah, you know, it's all just, you know, they're using words I choose not to use.
Right.
But it's really
right.
Getting to a point here in the United States, here in the great state of Minnesota. And we are the people who vote. I mean, we've heard many times that Minnesotans, we vote. We come out in huge numbers. I can't wait to see if that's going to happen this time. I can't wait to see it. I'm hoping that they're right, that it's going to keep. That's our momentum. That's what we do, is make sure that we vote, because you can't complain about it if you don't.
Exactly.
So, Nick, How many times have you went through your mailbox, you know, or you know, learned how what this person is saying or what that person is saying, whether you have to talk to other people or not? Do you ever say to yourself, I'm so disappointed. This is not what I was looking for.
Yeah, particularly when Trump got elected, I thought, when I listened to all the coverage about him, and when he said, oh, it's all about me, 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 I thought, oh, God, I hope this guy doesn't win. I hope this guy doesn't win. And he won in 2016.
Yes, he did. He won in 2016. I wish you well, Nick, because you're one of the ones that's really paying attention, and thank you so much for doing that.
You're really welcome. Grateful.
All right, call us again sometime soon, okay? All right, if anyone else would like to join us, of course, the number is 6. We got to take a break. We will be back in a moment.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhanced game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Steele Talking. I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. I've been here for more than 25 years here at WCCO. And the thing I love to do on a Sunday night is be here with you. So thank you for sticking and staying with us. If you ever have a comment or a question on anything that we're talking about, you are welcome to join us at 651-461-9226. Again, that's 651-461-9226. That is whether you want to call in or whether you want to text us. You can do that with that number, 651-461-9226. It is amazing. There's so much that we can talk about today. But many people can say, and I've heard this, I don't want to talk about that. There's so much going on in the world. I'm frustrated. I don't want to talk about that. It's just too much. I can't handle it. And I believe there are people who cannot handle everything that is going on in the world. Look at the Gaza Strip. Look at Israel. I never, ever thought it would come to that. I knew that there were bombs going off. I knew that they weren't getting along. Well, they have been doing that for a very long time. And here we are seeing areas just being destroyed. And you ask the question, why? Why now? Well, who allowed it to happen now? Very frustrating. So whether it's that conversation or it's another conversation that you've been engaged in with friends, family, maybe some students that are in school, like with you even, maybe you start to sit back and think, I don't really need to know all of that. I've actually heard teenagers, I'm talking about the ages of 16, 17, who said, oh, I don't need to read all of that. I don't need to read all of that stuff. The more we read, the better I think we get. I can't say that I'm smarter because I read. That's not it at all. But I will say that whatever you can do, do the best at it as you can. If you don't have all the answers that you need, search. Find the answers so that you get to move up and forward. Because you helped me move up and forward. So why not? It's very frustrating. But it's not impossible. So as we keep asking ourselves, is that really what I want to say about that subject? Is that really where I need to be, where my head needs to be? I have to do this at home. I got to make money at home. I got children at home. I got a husband at home. I got all of this stuff at home. And it's hard for me to deal with it. Believe me, there are so many of us that can say that, that are right there with you, struggling, trying to figure it out. And what our Congress is doing right now, oh my gosh, that's not helping us. That's not it. So I care, and I know you care about what is happening right now. But we have to write. We got to call. Remember, it used to be a time we would call all of our Congress people. We call them, whatever state you're in. You're going to call them and tell them, you better do such and such. We need you to do such and such. But does it really happen? My goodness. Very frustrating. But hang in there. Read as much information as you can. About as much as you can. All right, we're going to go over to the phone line and talk to Milt, M-I-L-T, from Minneapolis. Hey, Milt.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm a former Navy corpsman with the Marines. I'm 70.
Oh, thank you for your gifts and of helping us live.
Yeah, I actually kind of did train with the Israelis, too.
Okay.
And they are spot on, you know, really good military and everything. But right now I'm a little frustrated because I think our failure in Afghanistan is one thing that showed our weakness. And I just don't think that this administration has any solutions to what's happened the last 3 years.
So give me two things that have happened in the last 3 years.
Okay. Shutting down our gas and oil. The failure in Afghanistan, all the stuff that's, you know, with all the riots and, you know, just people, the stealing and the looting and just everything that's kind of happened. It didn't happen before this. And it's very frustrating to us veterans to think that, you know, we, you know, served our country and then to see all this stuff happening. It just kind of bothersome, and I don't think the current administration has the solutions.
However, every decade tells a story about who we are in this world, whether it's our mm-hmm. allies or not. Maybe it's the people that we can't stand, but here in America, we have to face a lot. I would never run for president of the United States.
Never. I don't think I would either.
Would you? I mean, you are a veteran. You have been out there fighting for us. Right?
Yeah.
I haven't done that.
Here's something you said you wanted to read and kind of, there's a book that was written 2 or 3 years ago, and it's called Democrats in Their Own Words and the Push for What They Kind of Want to Do, the Socialism. And if you don't read the book, just read the first 20, 30 comments and see if that isn't what's happening today. And so if you want to re-educate, you know, on what's really going on and how us veterans feel, you might want to take a look at that book. And another book is the newest book by Mark Levin, Levine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a Jewish guy that, you know, is the New York bestseller. And, you know, I'm just saying there are two different ways to look at this. And we're very frustrated what's happened in the last 3 years being veterans. That's, you know, I'm just trying to play the middle of the road on this thing.
It's hard to play the middle of the road right now, Milt. It's difficult. It really is. I mean, think of all that you've been through for the sake of this country. And I am so grateful that you've done it and so many others that you know. At the same time, there are also people here in the United States that are trying to do great things. Maybe it's writing letters to the veterans. Maybe it's just making a phone call saying, hey, there are some veterans in our neighborhood that really need a whole lot. Get out here and get it done. Right?
Yeah, right.
And so if we can just all get together and figure out, okay, this is what we have to do, then I think we're going somewhere. I wish we had more time to talk, Milt. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, everyone, we're going to take a break, and my next guest coming up is Dr. Henry Morris. He's Vice President of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion in Minnesota at the Minnesota State University in Mankato. We'll be back. Welcome back, everyone. It is now 8:37 here at WCCO. My next guest is Dr. Henry Morris. Do you know who he is? Well, he's Vice President for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at Minnesota State University, Mankato, better known as MSU. There's a lot going on, right? Well, it says right now, tomorrow is a big day for the University of Minnesota, who welcomes a distinguished guest speaker on campus. Now, we've been through this many times, and there have been protests and all sorts of things, but this one is quite interesting. It will be Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett. She will be in Minneapolis by invitation of the university's law school. And not everyone is happy about it. We know this. Protests are being planned to take place at this event. But how do schools decide on guest lecturers that will speak to their student body? That's a great question and not easy to answer. Do sociopolitics play a major role in those choices? And what are the logistics in putting these events together? Great question, because it's been changing sometimes. It used to be a time that you had that playlist, right, where you knew exactly how this was going to work out. But nowadays, there are more questions being asked. One man that knows these issues is Dr. Henry Morris, the Vice President of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at Minnesota State University in Mankato, and he is overseeing an upcoming event on his own campus. So who better to join us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline? Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. And I'm very excited to talk about this, because a lot of people, especially Democrats or those that are more liberal, Amy Coney Barrett is like a nightmare to some. Okay? Do you agree?
I don't know if I agree she's a nightmare, but I don't always agree with her position on the Supreme Court, for sure.
Right, exactly. So there are students who may know a lot about her, and there may be students where they're hearing from other people about how awful they may think she is. However, at the same time, we should be the ones doing the understanding. We should be the one to find out as much information about that person as possible. Do we still see that on campuses? Do we really make sure that those students know much more about this person than they used to?
I think it's important that universities continue to be a place where conflicting, competing ideas are heard and shared, that we still want to be a place where free speech is, happens, that we can't always guarantee that in the classroom or outside the classroom, that everything we hear is something we're going to agree with. I think it's our job as educators to help students decide what they believe in versus what their parents may believe in. At the end of the day, if they believe what their parents believe, fine. And if they change their point of view because of things they learn or hear, fine also.
Does that happen often on the campus?
Oh, yeah. We get students and parents who get upset because we're bringing X. We may have an LGBT center on campus. They don't like that. Or we may have a multicultural center. They don't like that. They may think the university's too woke. They don't like that. Or they may think we are too conservative. And some parents and students don't like that.
Yeah, but here we are talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion as well when it comes to this whole big event, right? Those are the three things that we need to really talk about. So when it comes to diversity, with her being on the campus, what does that mean to the students, in your opinion?
Well, again, not many people get to hear firsthand from a Supreme Court justice. So I think the students that get the opportunity to interact with her, it's a positive thing. I don't think they're going to probably change your view on many things, but I think it's important that they can say at the end of the day that they had the opportunity to hear her live and potentially ask a question. So I think it's important to bring people from different perspectives for our students to hear on a campus.
It is important for students to hear on the campus, especially from all voices. I think that we should always have, you know, different voices so that the students can really hear and maybe even read more about that particular person. And then they can really have a solid understanding of their own to accept. And that's not an easy thing on campus. That used to be the thing that happened in the late 60s. You know, people would actually sit down and go, okay, this is what I believe about this person. This is what I found out information. They would share information. I don't see much of that on campuses today.
Well, I think that campuses are a lot like what's happening in the country in general, becoming more polarized.
Right.
People have very stringent points of view on A, B, and C things that we might have, when I was going to college, might have, hey, okay, we disagree, but we can still be friends. Now it is very, I don't want to say black and white, but it is much more strident in terms of people's point of view. And campuses are seeing that, again, in our classrooms and on our free speech areas as well as in our lectures.
Well, that's good to hear. At the same time, so many of the students that have read all of these books and stories about leaders that came on their campuses decades ago, and they say, okay, but that was different. This is a whole new time, and we need to talk about our own time. I agree with that. However, wouldn't it be great if they could compare some of the people that have been on those campuses, like the Mankato campus, a long time ago, maybe read what they were here for, what they were at that place for, and what did they learn from that? Maybe if we start reading back, you know, going back to read about the people who may be suspect or maybe the ones that really inspire people to get angry, maybe there's a way to look at it from a different perspective. Do you agree?
Yeah, again, we deal with young adults.
Right.
I think that they are still deciding and coming to grips fully with what they believe and don't believe in. And so I think place as a campus should be a place that gives them the opportunity in a safe as possible environment to challenge ideas, as I said, to question ideas, not interrupt. I don't think they have the right to stop people from speaking, but I think they have the right to challenge ideas that they disagree with. And again, it doesn't hurt to know what was happening on your campus decades ago. Speakers when I was going to college many decades ago raised some of those same issues with me that made me question some of the ideas that I had growing up in the Bronx.
Yeah, and I can imagine you looking back saying, wow, I really thought that. Because it's amazing how we all keep growing and we think that we're that same person, but we're not. We're not. We are all growing and learning, hopefully, and trying to change the world. I remember in this article by Laura Wynn from the Minneapolis Star Tribune, and, you know, the whole thing was let the youth protest. Just let them do it. You know, the campuses have been doing this for a long time. Do you agree that we should allow the students to protest no matter what?
Yeah. Again, I don't know what no matter what means. Again, because I think they ought not to stop the event from happening. We have just last week, we had somebody who comes on campus about once a year. We call it the preacher, somebody who comes on campus when it's warm, comes in our public speaking area just to cause controversy, just to cause people. He talks about Muslims. He spits on the Bible, not the Bible, on the Quran, talks about members of the LGBT community. And the students get very, very upset. And we try to have conversations with them that's what that person wants. He wants controversy. He wants people to get upset. He wants people to attack him. That I said the best way to let him know that you disagree with him is just to turn your back on him and ignore him or counter-protest. Mm. Bring somebody there who has different points of view than he does. But to physically attack him, or even try to keep him from saying what he's saying, I think is not what really is an institution that we want to be supportive of.
Amen to that. I would absolutely agree with that. So where do we go with the future of our students trying to get to understand our democracy and knowing that they have a voice that they can use, but it seems as though they are not using it the same way they were 15, 20, 25 years ago? And if that's ever changing, I wonder how that could be disastrous for our students at universities.
I agree with you. I think our students need to be engaged in the political process. They got to go out there and vote. I'm not even telling them what to vote for, but they need to be engaged in the process. They need to, as you said earlier, read stuff, think for themselves, what they believe in, what they want to protest about, what they want to support. But I think the importance of hearing different ideas and putting it through your mind's ability to discern, I think is important. So, yeah, I think it's important that our students constantly be both in and outside the classroom, understand the importance of competing ideas. That's what a university is all about, for competing ideas.
Competing ideas. I just hope it continues forever, because I believe that students really learn from these voices, whether they like them, whether they disagree with them. Then sit down and write a paper or start calling the newspaper and saying, hey, this is what I believe. That was one of the things I was going to mention about Laura Wynn's article called Let the Youth Protest and Let Amy Coney Barrett Speak at the University of Minnesota. And it says here, from this woman, she says, I was all fired up to write a column about the importance of free speech on university campuses, about why we need to listen to different perspectives, if only to better test and scrutinize our own. Here's the thing for me. If the more people we get involved in talking about it, really being able to share information, share an understanding, or maybe debate it, it changes our lives. It changes our communities, especially on campus. Then she says, I would not simply espouse from my keyboard. I would find real young people to bolster my argument. Real young people. What is that?
I agree. Again, you know, the majority of our people are 18 years old, just many times leaving their home for the first time, their community, going to a large university with many competing ideas and thoughts they haven't thought about, coming from high schools, maybe of 200 students, and coming to a larger university. And Mankato is rather small compared to the U of M, but compared to the second largest university in the state.
Mm-hmm.
Still a large place from where they came from, and with conflicting and different ideas that they're not used to. And that's what, again, I truly believe that's what they should come to the university to put their beliefs through. A system of competing ideas, and at the end of that process, the end of the 4 years, 5 years that they're with us, they come out a stronger person with convictions that are truly they believe in, and that have been synthesized, well thought out, and allows them to be really functioning members of society.
Well said, sir. Well said. Okay, so we're going to wrap up this conversation. I want to know if it is possible today, in today's world, in order for us to have a real conversation where we are listening, where we are learning, we are trying to, well, we strive to be better, do better. Yet there are always, you know, factions that come forward and make it worse mm-hmm. instead of make it better. How can we make sure that our students say, yes, you're willing to get out there and protest. You're willing to say what you need to say and how you believe. But then when you walk away and it's all over, it can get worse after that. Many, many decades ago, there were times you didn't have to worry about that. But today I worry about that with students in college. Do you?
Oh, yeah, I worry. University is not isolated place on a hilltop. It's right in the middle of America, right in the middle of the state of Minnesota. And what happens in this country happens here. I just was reading something while I was waiting to call in about in Illinois, where this man shot and killed a 6-year-old Muslim kid because of what was happening in the Middle East. Mm. That's what we need to fight against. We need to support the diversity of ideas. And not take.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everyone. It is now 8:37 here at WCCO. My next guest is Dr. Henry Morris. Do you know who he is? Well, he's Vice President for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at Minnesota State University, Mankato, better known as MSU. There's a lot going on, right? Well, it says right now, tomorrow is a big day for the University of Minnesota, who welcomes a distinguished guest speaker on campus. Now, we've been through this many times, and there have been protests and all sorts of things, but this one is quite interesting. It will be Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett. She will be in Minneapolis by invitation of the university's law school. And not everyone is happy about it. We know this. Protests are being planned to take place at this event. But how do schools decide on guest lecturers that will speak to their student body? That's a great question and not easy to answer. Do sociopolitics play a major role in those choices? And what are the logistics in putting these events together? Great question, because it's been changing sometimes. It used to be a time that you had that playlist, right, where you knew exactly how this was going to work out. But nowadays, there are more questions being asked. One man that knows these issues is Dr. Henry Morris, the Vice President of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at Minnesota State University in Mankato. And he is overseeing an upcoming event on his own campus. So who better to join us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline? Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. And I'm very excited to talk about this because a lot of people, especially Democrats or those that are more liberal, Amy Coney Barrett is like a nightmare to some. Okay? Do you agree?
I don't know if I agree she's a nightmare, but I don't always agree with her position on the Supreme Court for sure.
Right, exactly. So there are students who may know a lot about her, and there may be students where they're hearing from other people about how awful they may think she is. However, at the same time, we should be the ones doing the understanding. We should be the one to find out as much information about that person as possible. Do we still see that on campuses? Do we really make sure that those students know much more about this person than they used to?
I think it's important that universities continue to be a place where competing ideas are heard and shared, that we still want to be a place where free speech is, happens, that we can't always guarantee that in the classroom or outside the classroom, that everything we hear is something we're going to agree with. I think it's our job as educators to help students decide what they believe in versus what their parents may believe in. At the end of the day, if they believe what their parents believe, fine. And if they change their point of view because of things they learn or hear, fine also.
Does that happen often on the campus?
Oh, yeah. We get students and parents who get upset because we're bringing X. We may have an LGBT center on campus. They don't like that. Or we may have a multicultural center. They don't like that. They may think the university's too woke. They don't like that. Or they may think we are too conservative, and some parents and students don't like that.
Yeah, but here we are talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion as well when it comes to this whole big event, right? Those are the three things that we need to really talk about. So when it comes to diversity, with her being on the campus, what does that mean to the students in your opinion?
Well, again, not many people get to hear firsthand from a Supreme Court justice. So I think the students that get the opportunity to interact with her, it's a positive thing. I don't think they're going to probably change her view on many things, but I think it's important that they can say at the end of the day that they had the opportunity to hear her live and potentially ask a question. So I think it's important to bring people from different perspectives for our students to hear on a campus.
It is important for students to hear on the campus, especially from all voices. I think that we should always have, different voices so that the students can really hear and maybe even read more about that particular person. And then they can really have a solid understanding of their own to accept. And that's not an easy thing on campus. That used to be the thing that happened in the late 60s. People would actually sit down and go, okay, this is what I believe about this person. This is what I found out information. They would share information. I don't see much of that on campuses today.
Well, I think that campuses are a lot like what's happening in the country in general, becoming more polarized.
Right.
People have very stringent points of view on A, B, and C things that we might have, when I was going to college, might have, we disagree, but we can still be friends. Now it is very, I don't want to say black and white, but it is much more strident in terms of people's point of view. And campuses are seeing that, again, in our classrooms and on our free speech areas as well as in our lectures.
Well, that's good to hear. At the same time, so many of the students that have read all of these books and stories about leaders that came on their campuses decades ago, and they say, okay, but that was different. This is a whole new time, and we need to talk about our own time. I agree with that. However, wouldn't it be great if they could compare some of the people that have been on those campuses, like the Mankato campus, a long time ago, maybe read what they were here for, what they were at that place for, and what did they learn from that? Maybe if we start reading back, going back to read about the people who may be suspect or maybe the ones that really inspire people to get angry, maybe there's a way to look at it from a different perspective. Do you agree?
Yeah, again, we deal with young adults.
Right.
I think that they are still deciding and coming to grips fully with what they believe and don't believe in. And so I think place as a campus should be a place that gives them the opportunity in a safe as possible environment to challenge ideas, as I said, to question ideas, not interrupt. I don't think they have the right to stop people from speaking, but I think they have the right to challenge ideas that they disagree with. And again, it doesn't hurt to know what was happening on your campus decades ago. Speakers when I was going to college many decades ago raised some of those same issues with me that made me question some of the ideas that I had growing up in the Bronx.
Yeah, and I can imagine you looking back saying, wow, I really thought that. Because it's amazing how we all keep growing and we think that we're that same person, but we're not. We're not. We are all growing and learning, hopefully, and trying to change the world. I remember in this article by Laura Wynn from the Minneapolis Star Tribune, and, you know, the whole thing was let the youth protest. Just let them do it. You know, the campuses have been doing this for a long time. Do you agree that we should allow the students to protest no matter what?
Yeah, again, I don't know what no matter what means, again, because I think they ought not to stop the event from happening. We had just last week, we had somebody who comes on campus about once a year. We called it the preacher, somebody who comes on campus when it's warm, comes in our public speaking area just to cause controversy, just to cause people. He talks about Muslims. He spits on the Bible, not the Bible, on the Quran, talks about members of the LGBT community, and the students get very, very upset. And we try to have conversation with them that that's what that person wants. He wants controversy. He wants people to get upset. He wants people to attack him. That I said the best way to let him know that you disagree with him is just to turn your back on him and ignore him. Or counter-protest. Mm. Bring somebody there who has different points of view than he does. But to physically attack him or even try to keep him from saying what he's saying, I think is not what really is an institution that we want to be supportive of.
Amen to that. I would absolutely agree with that. So where do we go with the future of our students trying to get to understand our democracy and knowing that they have a voice that they can use, but it seems as though they are not using it the same way they were 15, 20, 25 years ago? And if that's ever changing, I wonder how that could be disastrous for our students at universities.
I agree with you. I think our students need to be engaged in the political process. They got to go out there and vote. I'm not even telling them what to vote for, but they need to be engaged in the process. They need to, as you said earlier, read stuff, think for themselves, what they believe in, what they want to protest about, what they want to support. But I think the importance of hearing different ideas and putting it through your mind's ability to discern, I think is important. So, yeah, I think it's important that our students constantly be both in and outside the classroom, understand the importance of competing ideas. That's what a university is all about, for competing ideas.
Competing ideas. I just hope it continues forever because I believe that students really learn from these voices, whether they like them, whether they disagree with them, then sit down and write a paper or start calling the newspaper and saying, hey, this is what I believe. That was one of the things I was going to mention about Laura Wynn's article called Let the Youth Protest and Let Amy Coney Barrett Speak at the University of Minnesota. And it says here, from this woman, she says, I was all fired up to write a column about the importance of free speech on university campuses, about why we need to listen to different perspectives, if only to better test and scrutinize our own. Here's the thing for me. If the more people we get involved in talking about it, really being able to share information, share an understanding, or maybe debate it, it changes our lives. It changes our communities, especially on campus. Then she says, I would not simply espouse from my keyboard. I would find real young people to bolster my argument. Real young people. What is that?
I agree. Again, you know, the majority of our people are 18 years old, just many times leaving their home for the first time, their community, going to a large university with many competing ideas and thoughts they haven't thought about, coming from high schools, maybe of 200 students, and coming to a larger university. And Mankato is rather small compared to the U of M, but compared to where the second largest university in the state,
mm-hmm.
still a large place from where they came from, and with conflicting and different ideas that they're not used to. And that's what, again, I truly believe that's what they should come to the university to put their beliefs through. A system of competing ideas, and at the end of that process, the end of the 4 years, 5 years that they're with us, they come out a stronger person with convictions that are truly they believe in, and that have been sensitized, well thought out, and allows them to be really functioning members of society.
Well said, sir. Well said. Okay, so we're going to wrap up this conversation. I want to know if it is possible today, in today's world, in order for us to have a real conversation where we are listening, where we are learning, we are trying to, well, we strive to be better, do better, yet there are always, you know, factions that come forward and make it worse mm-hmm. instead of make it better. How can we make sure that our students say, yes, you're willing to get out there and protest. You're willing to say what you need to say and how you believe. But then when you walk away and it's all over, it can get worse after that. Many, many decades ago, there were times you didn't have to worry about that. But today, I worry about that with students in college. Do you?
Oh, yeah. I worry. University is not isolated place on a hilltop. It's right in the middle of America, right in the middle of the state of Minnesota. And what happens in this country happens here. I just was reading something while I was waiting to call in about in Illinois where this man shot and killed a 6-year-old Muslim kid because of what was happening in the Middle East. Mm. That's what we need to fight against. We need to support the diversity of ideas. And not take things out on innocent people.
Innocent people. My goodness. Dr. Henry Morris, Vice President of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, my final question for you tonight is it wise for us to move forward with having her, this Supreme Court Justice, actually come forward and speak? And, you know, it could really incite violence or not. I'm just curious to know, if we are going to keep doing this, should we keep doing this?
I would invite her. again, I have some people I disagree with, but I think there's nothing wrong in my role or the university's role to hear them say what they believe in, why they believe it. That gives you the opportunity, you know, that makes some sense to me, or boy, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. But I think Associate Supreme Court Justice is somebody any campus would want to bring on, to bring to their campus, to give their students the opportunity to interact live with somebody like that.
So true. And the last part that I want to read from Laura Wins from the Minneapolis Star Tribune, the article, she says, exposure to diverse ideas is essential to learning and the art of argument. It's too easy these days to remain smugly certain of your own perspectives mm-hmm. when no one is there to challenge us. I thought, who better to argue this than a high school debater? Now, if that doesn't speak to someone, tell me what does.
I agree.
Well, I want to say
totally
I want to say thank you so much, sir, for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it. Dr. Henry Morris, Vice President for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at Minnesota State University, Mankato, MSU. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I hope we can have you back on again.
Hey, send the invitation.
Thank you, sir,
for the opportunity.
Good night.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, everyone, we are wrapping this hour up. Thank you so much for sticking and staying with us. By the time we come back, I want to tell you it's time for Center Stage at 9 o'clock. Center Stage at 9 o'clock, so stay tuned. You get a chance to hear about music and all the stuff that's going on in the arts, so stay tuned. Welcome back, everyone. We have about a minute to talk, and I just want to say that when it comes to protests on a university campus or a college campus at all, it is quite remarkable how deep it can get. One other quote said, hate has no place on the University of Minnesota campus. Reads the petition trying to bar Barrett from the institution, but Barrett is not the Proud Boys inciting an insurrection. When she comes to the U, students who want to tune her out most definitely can stay home. Come on. See, that's how the argument starts, and that's how it's finished. And before you know it, we don't get anything done. We got to change that. Let's change it together, shall we? Thank you so much for enjoying this conversation, and we look forward to the next time. We'll be back. Welcome back, everyone. We have about a minute to talk, and I just want to say that when it comes to protests on a university campus or a college campus at all, it is quite remarkable how deep it can get. One other quote said, "Hate has no place on the University of Minnesota campus. Reads the petition trying to bar Barrett from the institution." But Barrett is not the Proud Boys inciting an insurrection. When she comes to the U, students who want to tune her out most definitely can stay home. Come on. See, that's how the argument starts, and that's how it's finished. And before you know it, we don't get anything done. We got to change that. Let's change it together, shall we? Thank you so much for enjoying this conversation, and we look forward to the next time. We'll be back.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhance game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLBPlus.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.